And welcome back to the For the Fan podcast. As always, I am Will, and I'm here with Luke, and I'm here with Flynn. Gentlemen,
what's up?
Welcome. Hopefully my microphone doesn't sound like I'm like talking into some 1993 first ever generation microphone in a computer.
Last week, Will was on a potato farm, and he was recording with the local crop.
With the local
that,
crop.
That was just terrible.
On location.
On location
potato recording.
And you can find this podcast on various social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram at For the Fan Podcast. You can listen to a bunch of other podcasts that are produced by this lovely group of people, and they can take a moment to share about them.
Flynn, go first.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I have a movie podcast called Chatting Cinema that can also be found in various locations, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on all other social medias like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chatting Cinema. We talk movies. It's a good time. Give us a listen.
We love movies. So I run a podcast with two lovely people called The Freelance Network. One of them is on this podcast. The other one is not. She's great. Her name's Cassie. We talk with content creators about what they do, give them a platform to just talk about the hard work they put into what they do, and also just to create a network of people. So it's pretty fun. You should check it out. Freelance Network Podcast, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all that good stuff. And also your favorite podcasting listening platforms like Spotify or Apple Music. Dab
on them. And we're going to be dabbing about some quarterbacks today.
Nice.
Tom Brady's last four games have been atrocious, to say the least. I don't know if I should even say Tom Brady's name and be like, oh yeah, he's atrocious, because he could just be like, yeah, I heard that, and just start going off. But then you have players like Phillip Rivers and Jameis Winston, Dak Prescott, who are trying to get big money come this offseason as well.
I got to say right now off the bat about those names you just said, the biggest con artist in all of the NFL is Jameis Winston, because he convinced everyone he was a first overall pick, which in college, yes, the man was. But he is a turnover machine that throws a lot of touchdown passes. So he's just like, I suck, but I don't. Give me money. I don't deserve it. Like, he is playing the system so hard, and it's kind of beautiful to watch, because Tampa Bay is just not even on my radar, dog. So, like, I don't care what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tampa. So, I mean, you could talk, Flynn. I just found the...
Yeah, sure. Tampa Bay was on my radar this season solely because of fantasy football. I had a share of Mike Evans and a share of Chris Godwin. So I was often hoping for good Jameis to come around. And, you know, he posts the stat lines. He's 400 yards and 4 touchdowns and 7 interceptions per game. Yeah. So he's, you know, famous Jameis and his W buffet or lack thereof. He's not eating many.
Yeah, no. I mean, I genuinely hope he breaks the NFL record for most turnovers or interceptions. Like, that would be amazing.
By next game.
So, I found a little stat thing comparing 25-year-old Jameis Winston to 25-year-old Peyton Manning.
Oh, God.
So, at this time in the season, they both had 26 passing touchdowns. Peyton Manning had 16 more yards than Jameis. They had the same amount of interceptions at 23. Peyton Manning has thrown one more pick six. They both had 6 wins. Jameis Winston had a better rating, but Peyton Manning had a 62.7 completion percentage, while Jameis had 61.3.
Biggest con artist in the league.
That's Peyton Manning's whole season. Okay, but yeah. Scratch what I said when it was both through 13 weeks.
Yeah, but no, like Jameis Winston, smart man. Low expectations. Yes. They're not expecting a lot out of him each game. And when he throws for 400 yards, like Flynn says, like, he's got a great receiving core, and he's set up to succeed, but he succeeds like just enough. to stay relevant and stay the starter. And now that Fitzmagic is out of there, like, he's even locked, like, it's his.
So, one thing I want to, like, I want to equal two quarterbacks here. So, Jameis Winston's year with Bruce Arians, I'm comparing to Carson Palmer's first year with Bruce Arians. Both really, really bad, but they're trying to develop it. So, like, Mike Evans, Larry, I'm not going to compare Mike Evans to Larry Fitzgerald, even though Mike Evans is right now a better athlete than Fitz, because Fitz is kind of slowly on his way out, but Fitz can still play ball.
Yeah.
But Carson Palmer did not play good his first year. I mean, he didn't play well in his tenure with Oakland either, but comparing those two, I think Tampa Bay should give Jameis Winston a year deal. It's either a make or break deal to succeed, because he could end up like Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer. Wow. I'm having a
great English. He's well literate.
Having a brain aneurysm right now. So comparing those two, Carson Palmer's second year before he tore his ACL, he was having a phenomenal stat line. They were 8-0 with the Cardinals, and all of a sudden the ACL is torn, and that kind of ended their entire season. I think Jameis Winston can have what it takes if Arians has a full offseason to really show Winston the ropes and kind of fix and adjust all the turnovers that he has caused. I mean, am I a Jameis Winston fan? No, but I think Jameis Winston can be really good. He's proven it right now. He's number three in passing yards right now.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Go, Flynn, go.
Yeah, for sure. I just think that, you know, given a lot of the things that Bruce Arians has said in the offseason and throughout the season, I think that Bruce Arians likes a quarterback project. I think that he likes the raw talent to be there, even if Jameis is a little unrefined as a QB. So I think Bruce is definitely going to want to bring him back, and I don't see Tampa moving on from him, especially because it feels like they're starting to have pieces in places. They have a lot of offensive playmakers. If they can work O.J. Howard into the offense a little bit more, I mean, O.J. Howard, Chris Godwin, and Mike Evans as your pass catchers is insane. Yeah. And you have a guy that can throw for 404 TDs a game. If you dial back those turnovers, he can really be a successful QB in the NFL.
And like no one bats an eye with, Winston's a clear number one in interceptions. Baker Mayfield's 2, Phillip Rivers 3, Goff is 4, Kyle Allen's 5. Like, I don't know how much more you can really ask for a guy. He's currently tied for second in passing touchdowns. He's 8 yards behind Dak Prescott for like the most yards in the league. Yeah, he's tied with Russell Wilson right now, and Wilson hasn't been having the best couple of weeks so far.
Yeah. He could realistically end up as the number one in all those significant quarterback categories, touchdowns, passing yards, and interceptions. But
oh yeah.
I mean, all the big ones, he's got the numbers there.
He does have the numbers, and he's not bad. He's not bad.
He's the best con artist.
He's the best crab leg stealer.
And it's fun too, because like that 2015 draft class was not a good one for quarterbacks, with the likes of Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota headlining. Now they're not bad, but they were the top of the draft. Then there's like Bryce Petty, who was a backup for a little bit. There's a couple other, but that draft class is almost
No, Bryce Petty was the year before that. He was 2014.
He was 2014. I'll bet you $5 right now.
Okay.
Google it.
I am Googling it right now.
Quarterback draft
Flynn,
class prop.
Flynn though. Is the witness. Flynn is the witness.
Well, I mean, this is recorded right now, so.
Yeah, but if this happens, you're Venmoing me $5 right now.
Okay, so I'm looking up Jets. Of
people around the world.
Devin Smith was their second rounder. Lorenzo Malden. I'm not giving you $5.
Yes, you are. I'm requesting it on Venmo.
This is the biggest transaction Bryce Petty has been a part of in years.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I remembered something better about the Jets than Will, so I earned this $5. I earned this. Will Gethard.
I remember the hype and the lead up with Jameis and Marcus at the top of that draft class, and for both of them to end up being somewhat mediocre, both having conversations around them as to whether they'll be a starter, Mariota being benched for Tannehill, who's lighting the world on fire right now in Tennessee.
Tannehill. Yeah.
I have to update my debit card, so you have to give me a moment. But so, but back to the topic here. Sure. You look at this top 10 in this draft class, too. I don't know why we're talking about it, but, you know. Facts. There's only three people in this top 10 that are still on the team.
Wait, ready? Wait, no. Well, I was going to say them, but no, because, well, that was Amari Cooper's year, right? So he's not on
the
team.
Yeah, Amari Cooper is not there. So they already, well,
Todd Gurley still on his team.
No, five, actually.
Todd Gurley's still on the Rams.
Yeah, so it's Gurley. Eric Flowers is gone. Vic Beasley, he's still on there. Kevin White was injured the entire time. Leonard Williams got traded. Brandon Scherff, he's going to be leaving this offseason. Mari Cooper was traded. Dante Fowler was traded. Mariota's a bench quarterback. Jameis Winston's there. So I actually lied into the three. There's five.
Well, let's talk about Tom Brady.
Yeah, I want to talk about Tom Brady. Is Tom Brady on his way out with the whole power struggle and, excuse me, the whole power struggle going on in New England, people saying, oh, Tom Brady doesn't need Belichick, Belichick doesn't need Tom Brady. It looks like they're going to go their separate ways. Brady signed that three-year extension in August, which voids the day before the league new year in 2020, which will be the first time ever Tom Brady can actually touch the free agency market. He cannot be salary kept. He can't be franchise tagged. No tagging whatsoever can be acquired on Tom Brady's name.
I think to answer your question, I think that Brady needs Belichick more than Belichick needs Brady. Because Belichick is going to be a coach in this league for a lot of more years. But Tom Brady is not going to be a quarterback in this league for more than, like, maybe, I'm going to say five just to be safe, because it's Tom freaking Brady. The man never retires, even when we think he's going to. But Belichick is just a genius coach. And he's also very good at recording things, which we'll get to.
Yeah, that'll be brought up in a few
minutes.
It's
a documentary series, guys. But yeah. No, I think that my biggest takeaway, like, the second the trade happened, the second I saw the tweet, the 49ers acquired Jimmy Garoppolo for a second-round pick, I was like, this is going to be the most regretful day in Patriots history. Now, Will, I'm going to need you to look up who they used that second-round pick on, because it could be a good player. But while Will's looking that up, I just got to say it right now. Jimmy G, in a system with Belichick, the way they've been doing it, could have been the next Tom Brady. Like, if anything, he is just as athletic, if not in he is in better shape. But, like, he's a bigger, stronger dude. And, like, the way he plays football for the 49ers, who, like, when he got there, had nothing. Can you imagine him with the Patriots team right now? They'd be ridiculous. They'd be lighting people up.
They couldn't afford Garoppolo, because Garoppolo, if they wanted to keep him, they would have had to pay him like $16 million a year to just ride the bench.
Which I
get. Knowing Brady, you don't know when he's going to retire, so you're kind of just like spending that money, so why not acquire that second round pick? And I'll tell you everything the Patriots got for this trade.
Oh, God.
So the Patriots acquired the 43rd pick in the 2018 draft. What did they get? So the Patriots trade the 43rd pick for the 51st and the 117th pick. They used the 51st to trade for the 105th and 56th pick in 2019. They used the 105th pick to acquire the 114th and the 178th pick. They used the 114th pick to acquire the 73rd pick in the 2019 draft. They drafted Christian Sam with the 178th pick. The Patriots, number 62 pick, own pick, and 117 for the 56th pick and the cornerback Duke Dawson. Deep breath. We're almost there, says NBC Sports Boston. The Patriots trade the 2019 73rd pick to the Bears for the 87th, 162, and a 2024th fourth-round pick. The Patriots trade the 56th pick and the 101st pick for the 45th and cornerback Jojon Williams. They drafted Damian Harris with the 87th pick. The Patriots trade their own 97th pick and the 162nd pick for number 101 and 133 to draft Johnny. I'm not pronouncing that. And Jarrett Stidham. So they got 10 players, resulting in so many transactions, and they're still a pick next year.
But Jimmy G is playing fantastic football.
Jimmy G's playing fantastic football now.
He's still worth more than those 10 players. Jarrett Stidham is not going to be anything. Like, that dude, he might be like a Jacoby Brissett. Like I'm good. I was Tom Brady's backup at one point, and the team will use me for, like, half a season. What was that dude's name who was Brian Hoyer? He's going to be like Brian Hoyer. So, I mean, I just don't see the logic in letting a future young quarterback go. Now, don't get me wrong. They won a Super Bowl after it. So, like, yeah, Tom still had juice left in him. But yeah, it's showing now that he doesn't. And it's I mean, as much as it's not sad, it's kind of a little bit, like, very tiny bit sad.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, I think that Belichick was upset about them dealing Jimmy G.
He was.
I think he wanted Jimmy to be the quarterback of the future, and that he could kind of, when he decided to leave the Patriots in a good situation to continue on without him. So yeah, Jimmy G's playing great. They did conceivably have to trade him because they weren't going to pay him all that money to sit the bench, but. Yeah, who know? As far as Tom goes, though, I have trouble seeing him anywhere other than New England. But I mean, signs are pointing there. People are starting to connect some dots. He sells his house in New England.
His trainer sells his house.
Right.
I'm starting to think he heads to California and plays in Los Angeles, because that's how you draw the market. You draw the Chargers market by becoming the quarterback, and all of a sudden you could sell out a season's worth of games.
Yeah.
That's a weird thought. That is a weird thought, thinking about Tom Brady being a Charger.
But Philip Rivers' contract's also done this year, and they're going to probably try looking for a new quarterback.
Honestly, he might retire. Like,
yeah.
He's been in, I mean, because, well, now I think the big question is also Eli, which we'll get to him, but That 2004 draft class, they've been in the league for a while, and this is not an easy game on the body and quarterbacks, especially. Like, so Philip had one of my favorite mic'd up moments of the season this week.
Because
he threw a 90-yard touchdown pass, and I forget who it was on the Jaguars.
Calais Campbell.
It was Calais. Okay. So Calais Campbell helps him up, and as he helps him up, Philip just starts screaming, "That's a 90-yard touchdown pass! 90 yards, baby! 90 yards!" And then Calais Campbell just goes, "Don't say that in my ear, bro." And Philip, like, "I'm going to say it wherever I want, especially your ear."
Yeah.
Best trash talker in the league.
Calais was kind of having a little conference with the ref after that. He's like, "Can you believe this? Can you..." This guy?
Number 17. Number 17.
I mean, yeah, the Philip Rivers' propensity for trash talk has been well documented.
I am very glad that it's well documented.
And also Angry Philip. You cannot forget about Angry Philip.
Yeah.
And so, like, my final thoughts with the Patriots subject. This is the first time, and I don't know how long, that the Patriots have lost back-to-back games.
Yeah.
I don't even know when the last time they've really lost a back-to-back game. This is their first home loss since 2017, where they lost to Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Riverboat Ron, still in the news.
That is a time capsule in itself, because Cam Newton and Riverboat Ron beat the Patriots, like, both of them.
Probably out of Charlotte.
And Mahomes was the first quarterback in regular season 25 and under to defeat Tom Brady at
home. This is a big game for Mahomes, I think, as a leader, because now it's showing that he cannot just be a flashy football player. He's smarter. He's not running as much. He's running when he needs to, which is one of the things that I need Lamar and Deshaun to learn before they, like, blow out their legs. But Pat is showing signs of, like, a veteran leader quarterback at, how old is he? 24, 23?
Yeah, Mahomes?
Yeah, isn't he 24?
I want to say he's 24.
Yeah, but Pat is showing that he is not just that flashy guy who can make sidearm no-look passes, which is very exciting, don't get me wrong. But Aaron Rodgers can do it too, but he can also be a damn good leader.
Mahomes' sidearm pass, like, the biggest thing, I've just seen more and more quarterbacks doing it.
I think it was honestly a thing a lot of them could do, it's just they would never do it in a game.
And then you get the no-look pass, too, and I just
see quarterbacks that, if you can do it, it's sick. It's just straight-up sick. But no, I think that this Chiefs win represents a lot of things for that team, from, like, Andy Reid's 100th career road win, which is a big deal for a coach.
That's a big milestone.
And then, I mean, the fact that the team beat the team that knocked them out of playoffs last year.
You go into their home, which is not
exactly
the easiest
win. It's one of the hardest stadiums to play in, which also, I heard it was very unfortunate that Pat Mahomes' girlfriend and brother were harassed by Patriots fans all throughout the game. And, like, they had to be escorted out by security because, like, people were getting very rowdy. But this is sport. Okay. I don't want to talk about bad things. I just think that the Chiefs showed a lot because, like, they've been slept on ever since Pat got hurt. So this is a huge win for them. So
let's stay in New England here. Well, we're going to go on to Cincinnati because I'm so excited the Patriots are playing Cincinnati on Sunday.
There's one more quarterback we got to talk about.
Who's that last quarterback?
Eli Manning.
Well, I mean, Eli Manning's going to retire after this year. He had his no-trade clause on his contract. So he wasn't going to get traded, but Giants fans wanted him to get traded. I mean,
so Eli,
why trade your hero? And he's also why trade your hero if, you know, he's won you two Super Bowls, you defeat the Patriots twice, and basically the Patriots home for the 21st century. Yeah. Why do you want to trade him away?
But the reason why I wanted to add Eli onto this conversation is because we talked about Tom Brady, we talked about Philip Rivers, and Eli Manning potentially made his last ever career start last night.
No, he's going to be starting Sunday. I can guarantee it right now.
You think so? I mean,
Danny Dimes is missing 2 weeks, according to a source I saw last week. So I think Eli Manning has his last start on Sunday at home in front of his home crowd.
All right, that would be better because, although it was cool though, because at the end of the game, the Eagles players lined up and were shaking his hands and like basic, because that's probably his last time ever playing the Eagles. So, which honestly, like as an Eagles fan, like growing up going against Eli, it was very difficult because he was always a great quarterback and it's like much respect to him for a great career.
Yeah. Salute, Eli.
Although I would just like to say, I complimented the Giants way too much, so here's a follow-up sentence. For the first time in the franchise history, the Eagles are winning in the series. The Eagles have 87 wins. The Giants have 86 wins, and then there's two ties. But that's just a fun fact that I saw one of my Philly guys tweet.
I like that stat so much.
Yes.
So we're going to move on to...
Now let's get
gonna,
to some scandals.
We're going to move on to Cincinnati, scandals. Where Welcome. There was a quote-unquote Patriots personnel in the stadium were doing a documentary, and the documentary was just viewing the play calls for the Bengals. Now I see why the Patriots lost the past 2 weeks, because they're really focusing on the Bengals for whatever reason.
Just like Adam Gase did.
We're on to Cincinnati. Okay, maybe that's why you lose to, you know, two of the best upcoming quarterbacks, Watson and Mahomes, because you need to be prepared for the 31-year-old Andy Dalton and what is his final stretch in Cincinnati for his career.
Yeah.
So
I don't even know what to say.
Does Roger Goodell slam his foot down and either do something with the Patriots organization to where, you know, there's what suspensions, there's a large fine?
I gotta say, man, I don't see it happening.
Money, a fine's gonna do nothing. They're making so much money. Then suspensions, who do you suspend? Like, you can't pinpoint it to any player, so that doesn't affect the game. Yeah. No shot you can pinpoint that to Belichick, so that doesn't affect the game. At best, you just suspend, like, Bill Belichick's son, who's, like, the safeties coach, who is a carbon copy clone of Bill Belichick.
Don't suspend Steve Belichick.
Yeah, man.
Steve Belichick is more Bill Belichick than Bill Belichick is.
I need the sound bites from Steve Belichick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know who you target. Like,
exactly.
Apparently, like the whole like, thing was there was a clear 8 minutes to where they were just focused on the sideline of the Bengals during the Browns game and just watching their play calls and their set hand signals and all that.
Why do you cheat to beat the Bengals? I don't
know. But to be fair, this probably means that they've been doing it with more than just the Bengals and they just unfortunately happened to get caught while doing it for the Bengals.
Because nobody wanted to look on the field, so they were looking around at anywhere else.
Literally. Like, what else is there to watch when you're in Cincinnati at a football game?
You can drink, I mean. And then there's also the Blue Jackets, I mean.
Yeah,
Columbus. Ohio has everything there.
Yeah.
So, in some other news, the NFL salary cap is projected to go up again, anywhere between $196 and $200 million. It's up 40% in that spot where it was in 2015, where it was about 143.3. And it's up around 70% to where it was in 2011, where it was hovering around 119.
Get that money.
Get that money. Get that money as fast as you can.
I think a lot of it has to do the New Jerseys, because they had that New Jersey deal since then, because Nike took over.
Nike took over from...
And Nike is a fantastic company. They actually just announced that MLB is going with Nike as well, which for the first time, MLB jerseys are going to have Nike swooshes on them, which is pretty cool. But yeah, no, I think that this is good for the league because these young guys are getting massive contracts. So if you want teams to retain any of these players, like, how do you expect the Rams to retain anybody with that god-awful Jared Goff contract right now?
Jared Goff, Aaron Goff. Donald.
And Todd Gurley,
and now soon to be Jalen Ramsey's contract.
Which honestly, between those four contracts, that could be about half of their payroll each year. Like the amount those guys are getting. Jared Goff's at like what, 32 million?
32 million.
TG is
15.
Aaron Donald.
He's going at like 16 a year, and you're going to be paying Ramsey like 18 million.
Yeah. So,
and you don't have any draft picks to just, you know, you can't get like cheap money and just do
literally that. No draft picks.
There's no draft picks to come.
I feel bad for Rams fans because they didn't even have one last year because of Brandon Cooks, which was a bad, Brandon Cooks was a good player for that team. Good fit. But like to not have a first round pick.
It's not working out now.
Especially now that they don't have the next two, that's rough.
It is rough. And let's end some news.
This is
here
literally just for
nice
Will.
Little. This is just for me because I saw this on CBS Sports today.
Flynn, we can check out real quick.
Le'Veon Bell was ruled out of the game against the Miami Dolphins on Sunday, and he wanted to play, but the medical staff for the Jets said he cannot play. So. What can you do in New Jersey? You could go drinking or you could go bowling. Went bowling and he scored his career high in bowling, which is 251. That beat his previous record. I think it was 233. Apparently, Gaze and all them were not very happy that he went out. But I mean, you rule him out of a game. I mean, he's not really on the hook to show up. I mean, yeah, Jamal Adams was there. I was literally feet from Jamal Adams on the field. But yeah. I mean, you don't have to expect Bell to just show up and do all that stuff and get other players.
You especially can't be mad when you see those numbers. I mean, what an impressive performance at the lanes.
And to be fair, too, I mean, the Jets should start looking into diversifying their product into a professional bowling team as well, because they already have a top touted prospect in Le'Veon Bell.
Apparently.
So
MJ
now the
flu game.
The debate comes around, who was better, Bell's flu bowling game or MJ's flu basketball game?
I mean,
pretty sure there's
balloon
a right
balls
answer.
Are pretty heavy. You're slinging them.
If Michael Jordan was here right now, I'm pretty sure he would bitch slap all of us.
I mean, you know, no disrespect to MJ. His flu game was great. It's iconic. But, I mean, 250 plus at the alley? Come on.
I want my interview. I scored 280 on Wii Bowling, and I've yet to receive any interviews. I stayed home from school one day, probably in like the sixth grade, to play that.
Did you have the flu?
I don't know what I probably had.
You had.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
You had the ugly.
I did have the ugly. So we're going to be heading on to our predictions, and we're only like a half hour in right now. So our predictions this week. So last week, Flynn killed the game with 11 correct. Followed by Luke with 9 and myself with 8 picks.
This is what week, we I'm get for bringing 9. Flynn on. Flynn is kicking our ass in predictions.
Flynn's kicking ass.
What can I say?
What can he say? And there's 16 games this week. He looked into the crystal ball and he found it. So this
I did not see Le'Veon Bell tearing it up in the lanes though. So that was
that one was hard to predict. We're not going to blame you.
I can't predict illnesses. Everyone's immune system's different. You know, I can't do that. Too much hard thinking on the brain. So out of all these matchups, there's only like two really good matchups this week, and the rest are just really terrible.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I want to start out with this prolific Thursday night football game. Shut and up. I think it's going to be a slobber knocker, as what my good old commentating friend JR would say.
By God, it's a slobber knocker.
He's going to be saying stop the damn match in the middle of the second quarter.
Stop the damn match.
It's going to be that bad. So the New York Jets at the Baltimore Ravens. I am lone wolfing it this week with the Jets. I'm going to take them on the money line. I am that confident in them.
Oh, wow. God. You have a gambling problem. All right.
Well, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Flynn and I are smart because we are taking the Baltimore Ravens. I'm not saying this game is a lock. I think the Jets are playing good football and their team has some spirit. But Lamar Jackson and his Ravens have won the last 9 games they've played. They are impressive. They are fun. And also, they got to come to the bank. Big trust.
Big trust. MVP.
And they're gonna have to find Mark Ingram at the gate. They're going to have to find him.
Find him at the gate.
So if the Jets are within 17 points, I consider that a very big victory for the Jets.
That is the most Jets fan thing I've ever heard.
Well, I mean, it depends if they're going to be with or without Jamal Adams, because they don't know if he's going to be playing or not. Le'Veon Bell, they don't know if he's going to be playing. I mean, he's been practicing.
They have to see what bowling alleys are in the area. For Lev, before they make a determination on his status.
maybe
big
Jamal
game,
will
big
join
game
him.
Coming for Robbie Anderson, despite the loss. I think that Robbie Anderson is playing for a new contract, and I think he's going to continue to light it up
against Baltimore. I have no faith in him lighting it up against Baltimore. Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith. I mean, that's like the best cornerback duo in the league. I cannot say anything else about that.
But they're gonna be down, and they're gonna be throwing it. So. He might break free.
Next matchup, we have a couple of sweeps coming up. Chicago at Green Bay.
Flynn.
Sweep across the board.
Flynn, love Green Bay.
Yeah, I you love to see it. It's Lambeau in December. It's the Packers. I think the offense has looked rough the past couple weeks for the Packers. I mean, they did drop 31 on the Giants, but that was after 3 quarters of close football. Yeah. And then only in the fourth quarter did they begin to light it up. Yeah, that's true. But Aaron Rodgers in the snow, he loves it. Jamal Williams feels like a mermaid in the snow, according to him. but I think they find a way to sort of slow down this Bears resurgence that's been happening.
I hardly call beating the Cowboys a resurgence, but anyways.
Bear.
But yeah, I think this is the 200th matchup between the Bears and the Packers.
Best rivalry in the league.
Agreed.
The longest one as well. The next matchup, New England at Cincinnati. We have a clean sweep of New England. So Luke can explain.
New England looked into their crystal ball. I don't know which brand of crystal ball they prefer. Canon, Panasonic, Sony, whichever one.
Whichever dollar store brand is available.
But
or even the one for like Halloween.
Or maybe mirrorless too. Maybe they went mirrorless.
Yeah,
mirrorless.
Good for video.
But New England definitely is going to win this game. And honestly, we may see Jared Stidham take the field because Cincinnati's defense is that bad. And they don't want Tom Brady to get hurt in December. So, like, this is not going to be fun.
Yeah.
Not going to be fun.
I cannot possibly predict a Cincinnati victory here. But how poetic would it be?
Oh, my God.
How great would it be?
It would go down as one of the greatest sports games of this decade.
Any given Sunday, I mean, you can't. The Bengals are so bad, but I'm hoping with every fiber in my being that somehow the Bengals pull it off. Because that would be worse than any punishment that Roger Goodell could lay down if the Bengals beat the New England Patriots, even despite the practice footage. It's what America deserves. Bring it home, Cincinnati. We're all rooting.
If the Patriots lose a third straight game, I don't know what I would end up doing with my life because I've never.
Buffalo Bills sneaking in on that division.
The Bill. Oh my God. Week 16 would have a meaningful matchup.
Come and eat that.
That's dumb. So, next matchup, Seattle at Carolina. A very good, you know, 2010s rivalry, especially near the end with some playoff games and all that. Clean sweep, Seattle. I
think this will be a good game, though.
I think it'll be close.
Anytime Christian McCaffrey's on the field, it'll be fun to watch, certainly. Yeah, but I don't think Carolina's out, like, as in spirit-wise. They're out playoff-wise, but they're not a bad football team. It's just their division's good. So, I mean, Seattle needs this win, though. They need it bad.
Need it.
Yeah. So, Christian McCaffrey respects his fantasy owners. Wants to give him a good performance. He knows the playoffs are going around. So I see him taking over here. But, yeah, I don't think Carolina's going to be Seattle in this one.
I'm rooting really big in my one playoff league. This one kid has not checked his
lineup
once this year. He's not checked his lineup once this year. But he's in the championship game right now, and he has Mixon and Dalvin Cook and Dak Prescott, a quarterback. Robert Woods at his one receiver. Rooting for him to win. Next matchup. Houston at Nashville. I am the lone wolf in Nashville, the Tennessee Titans this week, because Ryan Tannehill is playing the best football I think he's ever played since maybe his past life, if he played football.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is the best game of the week.
Yeah, I can see it.
I can
like
see
most
that.
Competitive.
Absolutely.
I can see that.
I'm taking Houston. I forgot to say that.
I'm taking Houston as well, but playoff implications and
the
I
division
think
that
both these
line.
Teams are,
a lot
are hot.
On the
so,
line.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun one. Speaking of playoffs, speaking of lots on the line, what's the next matchup?
Miami at playoffs. The New York Giants.
Now, this is a different on the line because we are in another Tank Bowl, baby. Everybody loves a good Tank Bowl.
Love it.
I'm going to say this too. Giants lose on Sunday. Pat Shermer's out on Sunday. He doesn't stay the rest of the year.
It's his fault.
He doesn't make it to Black Monday.
Fair prediction. Miami, they got something in Brian Flores. He's for the players to still be competing for him and playing the level of football that they are this late in the season where, you know, everybody's kind of criticizing them, asking them if they were losing on purpose because they were getting so badly decimated. I think that when they can put together a more complete roster, I think that Brian Flores as a head coach is going to look really valuable.
They also have an Iron Man kicker right now.
Yeah. Seven of touchdowns on Sunday. I think he's tied for the most made kicks in NFL history single game.
Yeah, eight would have been the record.
They
should have tried that 64-yarder.
Yeah. Quite a performance.
Next matchup, Philadelphia at Washington. Lone Wolf. Flynn is lone wolfing right now.
Oh
yeah, something about the Skins. I don't know. They're playing solid defense, and the Eagles have a lot more to play for. But they had a lot to play for on Monday too, and they just didn't for most of that game look like they were competing. So I don't know. The Redskins have put together some good defensive performances. You know, say what you will about the conditions of the game when they played San Francisco, but they held them to 9. They held the Vikings to under 20. They did a good job containing the Packers last week. So the Redskins have something in them. I don't know when it's going to ever establish a winning team. They need to fire Bruce Allen and get rid of Dan Snyder. But Skins, HTTR.
So I have something to say.
No,
I don't blame Flynn for picking the Redskins because the NFC East is a bloodthirsty division. They always compete with each other no matter the status of the teams. It's always competitive. But what I have to say is Carson Wentz played his best football last night in the third and fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz played a solid game. He was like 33 for 50 with 350-something yards and 2 touchdowns. And he was playing his tight end. Okay, so past Zach Ertz, he had a tight end, a wide receiver, or both wide receivers, and a running back that all started on the practice squad this year.
Yeah.
And he managed to win in a rain game on Monday night prime time. So I know the first half was terrible. It was terrible watching. But the second half showed Carson Wentz is a leader, and he will pull through. He'll figure it out. And we'll see who actually shows up to be his receivers and running backs this week. Yeah. Because honestly, at this point, if his name isn't Miles Sanders, I don't know who's actually going to show up. Sure. No, like, Jordan Howard has a legitimate injury, but, like, the receivers, like, every other week sneeze, and they're like, we're not playing this week. I'm just like, all right, Nelson. All right, Alshon. What are you guys doing? Why are you getting...
Luke lagged out of the call. He ranted on too so heated long. About
the Eagles. Yeah, important to note about the Eagles that they will be without Alshon Jeffrey again in this game and the rest of their games.
He's done the rest of the year, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. Wentz is rolling out with a bunch of convenience store employees at the skill positions, so see if they can make it work.
Luke just said, big yikes. If he makes it back on before the end of the call, hooray. If not, he'll be back on next week.
Yeah,
the next matchup, next couple are some sweeps. Denver at Kansas City. Kansas City's a clean sweep there.
Yeah.
Drew Lock was too lucky his first 2 weeks. He's not going to be lucky that week. That's my opinion on that.
Yeah.
Next matchup, Tampa Bay at Detroit. Clean sweep Tampa Bay. Famous Jameis is going to be Famous Jameis could be famous in the Motor City. That's what I got. That's what I got right there.
I like it. Eat a W.
Eat a W.
No Mike Evans in that game.
No Mike Evans. Chris Godwin's the number one. They may wish they had Adam Humphrey still, but he's not there. Cleveland at Arizona. I am lone wolfing it this week with the Cleveland Browns. I'm tired of not picking Cleveland, and they, win, so I'm going to pick them, and hopefully they end up winning on Sunday.
Yeah, what a season for Cleveland when, the analysts and sports writers were all predicting the ceiling being Super Bowl. To just have the season crumble like this, there needs to be some questions organizationally in the offseason because they're too talented to not compete. And that being said, let's go Kyler.
And you even have OBJ that apparently has been telling players to get him out.
Yeah, rumor has it.
Yeah.
Come to Green Bay, OBJ. We'll love you forever.
I don't think the Green Bay would want OBJ. That would see. Ruin their franchise.
Yeah, we'll see. I doubt it, but stranger things.
Luke is questioning what even happened. So next matchup we have is Jacksonville at Oakland. I am lone wolfing this again. Minshew magic is going to be happening in the dark hole. The dark hole, the black hole.
Yeah, it's this is going to be quite the game. It's hard to want to watch either of these teams.
Not a fun matchup to be had there.
Oakland sucks less this week. That's
Oakland.
What
that's all behind that. Luke would probably go on a rant about how Derek Carr is really good, but he's not here to say that.
Bumper cars.
Next matchup: Minnesota at the Los Angeles Chargers, and Flynn is lone wolfing it this week.
I'm lone wolfing it. This is a biased pick. I'm sorry, folks. I don't know. Maybe Phillip Rivers has a little bit more magic in him. Maybe he. Talk some trash to Daniel Hunter. go Chargers. Bolt up.
Bolt up. I think Kirk Cousins is going to enjoy a nice little warm vacation that's not in a dome. So he gets to enjoy it down there. And probably, another home game for the Vikings.
Yeah.
And the next couple of them are some sweeps. Los Angeles Rams at the Dallas Cowboys. Clean sweep across the board with the Rams.
Yeah, Dallas is in a tailspin, and the Rams played their best game of the season against the Seahawks in prime time. They looked actually like the Rams that we expected going into this season. So I don't know if that continues throughout the rest of the way here as we look towards the end of the season and whether they can try and sneak into that other playoff spot. I doubt it unless Minnesota starts dropping some games. But yeah, the Rams looked good and the Cowboys looked bad last week. So I'm picking the Rams.
Rams fans are going to be petitioning to get Dallas out of the playoff picture and have the Rams inserted because the whole NFC is scary.
Except for the East.
except for the East. The East is just a participation trophy.
Yeah.
So, next matchup, Atlanta at San Francisco. San Francisco is all across the board there.
Yeah.
Jimmy G.
San Francisco coming off an incredible win against the Saints. I mean, that was being billed as the game of the season. It delivered. Jimmy G kind of showed. After that Seattle game, I think that people were questioning, you know, he looked kind of scared in overtime. He looked a little timid. He threw like four balls like in a row that could have been intercepted. But there he was against New Orleans, and he engineered a drive. Don't get me wrong. It was thanks to the will of George Kittle that they made
and then
it
the face mask
range.
Of Marcus of Marcus Williams as well.
Timely mistake that was. But Jimmy G stayed cool. He stayed under control, and he led his team to a win. And I think that game might have silenced some of the doubts that people may or may not still have about Jimmy. But we'll see.
And with that game on Sunday, it became the 1,053rd scoreigami game of the entire existence of the NFL.
Big-time scoreigami.
Big-time scoreigami.
I love scoreigami. It's such a fun little, like, side thing to get excited about in sports. And for it to come in a game like that was pretty cool. Because usually, like, the scoreigami games that come now are, like, weird. Like, there was, like, a safety and, like, three field goal, like, really weird scores, not like barn burners like that. So that was really good. So many points on the field. Both teams, I mean, a lot of people treat these as the top two teams in the NFC, and both certainly played like it on Sunday.
Next matchup. A big flex to the Sunday night spot. Buffalo gets a Sunday night football game for the first time, and I don't even know how long. And they play the Pittsburgh Steelers in Heinz Field. Flynn is lone wolfing it, but I might actually join Flynn here.
Yeah, you know,
I'm joining Flynn here.
Woo! Yeah, the Duckman. He's been stringing together some wins. The team's playing well. That defense looks good. I think this will be a defensive battle. We'll see who Pittsburgh trots out on offense, because who knows if this could be Juju's first game in a little while. I haven't seen anything about James Conner's status.
I think Juju might play Sunday. That's what they're targeting.
So, you know, and we'll see if Juju's getting top receiver coverage, what Deontay Johnson, James Washington continue to do with Devlin Hodges. So I'm glad this one got flexed. I think it should be a good one. I certainly counted Pittsburgh out, and the Steelers are proving me wrong and showing that was a mistake. They can still compete. I don't see them making it too far in the playoffs, but I think they deserve one of those last playoff spots.
It's going to be very tightly contested. It's right now between the Titans, the Texans, and now the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, the Monday night matchup, Indianapolis at New Orleans. I want to just say this. The last time that Indianapolis played in New Orleans put 62 points on the Colts against Painter. That was an atrocious, like, week 5 Sunday night game. I just remembered that when I was typing up this document today.
They might put up more this time because they're mad they lost this.
They're going to definitely put up at least 10 points. That's my guess. At least 10.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we have a clean sweep across the board. New Orleans, I don't think they're going to match 62 points. I think they'll probably match about 35.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think they're I think they're taking it pretty easily, this one. But who knows? Maybe Jacoby proves us wrong.
Jacoby Brissett can prove everything and, you know, show everything right there. But that is the end of the podcast, where I don't even know how much time, because the call ended weirdly and we had to restart it. So, but thank you for tuning in and listening in. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at We Are For The Fan. You can find all their other podcasts and goodies on other social medias like Chat and Cinemas and the Freelance Network podcast.
That's right. Give them a listen.
Give them a listen. podcasters have to unite because it's a small world, and you gotta know the right people if you're gonna get listeners.
Yeah,
that's all I gotta say. So from Flynn and I, and you know Luke, if you know he's still heated from his Eagles debate, that
Luke is in the ether somewhere.
Maybe he'll return from the ether next week. Who knows?
Yeah, Luke's here in spirit.
So. Thank you for listening to the For the Fam podcast, and listen to us next week.